with me at Romans chapter number 12. As much as I try to go another place, I always came right back to this one here all during my study time. But we know that God has a way of giving us what we need. Amen. Through the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to look at those first two verses is all we need to look at today. Don't have a title just yet. Maybe I will when I read it. Everybody have Romans chapter 12. We're looking at verse 1 and 2. We'll parade and peruse those two verses, and we'll be out of your way. Amen. If you have it, say, I have the word. Ready to receive it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Man, I guess we will use for a thought, a title, a tag to this message, doing your reasonable service. Amen. Reasonable service. How many know that it is our reasonable service to serve the Lord? Amen. How many of us can say that we serve the Lord daily and we do what we're supposed to do? That's good, everybody. All right, I mean, we're honest because we don't all think that we're where we're supposed to be. Amen. I mean, you're striving to be that. This book, Romans, again, I always say that this is Paul's gospel because he, although he did not write a gospel such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but this is Paul's gospel because he takes the entirety of where man was in the lost state that we were in and brought us to a place to understand that Jesus came, he died for our sins, and he rose again, and by our faith, not by our works, we are saved by grace through faith. Amen. And if you read the book of Romans, you truly and thoroughly understand your position in Christ. The book of Romans will help you if you feel condemned from your guilt of past issues. Chapter 8 tells us that don't let our heart condemn us because God, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, right? Who walk after the Spirit and not after the what? Flesh. So he gets us to a place. And so Paul in this first particular verse says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, when we look at that word, therefore, it connects us to what's been said and tells us that there's something to be said after what's been said. Now, what's been said up until this point? He's told us that we first were wrong and we need to get right with God. He tells us that the power of God is the word of God unto salvation, right? He tells us that in chapter number 5 that we have the Holy Spirit which has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. He tells us in chapter number 8, he talks about how that we don't know what to pray for, but we need the Holy Spirit of God. Y'all with me here? He tells us that we are in the image of Christ, that he called us, he foreknew us, and so no matter what we go through, God already knew what we'd be and where we'd be and how we'd be, and so he already prepared the deliverance for us before we even get there. Amen. He lets us know also that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, not saying that something won't come and make us stop loving, but he's saying that nothing can make God stop loving. Right? He said, what shall we say to these things? The stuff that you go through, there's an answer for. That if God be for us, who can be against us? You know what I always say, if God is on my side, everybody else might as well be. Y'all still with me here? And so Paul, in this, he begins to tell us what he said, and then he says, and therefore, since I said all of that, he tells us how to be saved. He said to confess with your mouth and to believe in your heart, Romans 10, right? He said, thou shalt be what? Saved. So he says, I said all of that to get you to this point. He says, now, after you know all of what I've told you, I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I admonish you that you present your bodies. Now, what is Paul doing here? He is giving us a challenge. Amen. He's challenging us to do something. Because after you hear what God has done for you, there should be a challenge for you to do something for God. You should feel challenged to do what God will is for you to do. Amen. If you don't feel a challenge, if you don't feel a pulling sometimes to be challenged to do what's right, for instance, if you don't feel challenged to forgive, if you can just go on with hatred in your heart, something's wrong. If you don't feel a challenge to love, something is wrong. There ought to be a challenge. There ought to be something contending inside of you, challenging you to do what's right. Y'all still with me? And so Paul challenges, he says, after you understand what Jesus has done for you and all it takes is you to believe and that the Holy Spirit is there because you don't know how to pray, but he make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. After you know all of this, he said, now I'm challenging you. Since you know what God has done for you, here's the challenge to present. Now, when he talks about present, he's talking about in a way of worship. Y'all with me still? For instance, let me show you, let me share with you how the Bible says that in the book of Job, remember that the sons of God came before the Lord to present themselves unto God, right? And when they came to present themselves unto God, we always make the statement that and Satan also came among them, right? And so if Satan came among them, that means that he comes to try to distract, right? So whenever you go to present yourself or whenever you live a life that is a worshipful life, a life that's worshiping God, then Satan comes to interrupt. Y'all still with me? And so you have to present yourself before God. And in order to get in God's presence, you got to be a worshiper. Oh, yeah, anything. The Bible said, let everything have breath. But God seek one that worship. Y'all hear me here? You praise him because he's God, but you worship him because I know what he's done for me. I know who he is. I know what he's capable of. I know what he's done. Amen? And so he says, by the mercies of who? Of God, present your body. So he's challenging us that we worship God and be constant in our worship. Be continual and not occasional. A lot of times we occasionally worship God. We occasionally worship when we go through trials. Preach. We occasionally worship when we know that, you know what, I've been missing worship for so long, it's time for me to change up and go back to church for a change. Y'all hear me? But he wants us to be consistent in our worship, right? He said, present your body. And so in order for me to present, when I look at the word present, that word in the Greek, that word is the word peristeme, which means to stand beside or to place beside or near or to be at one's disposal or to bring one into fellowship or intimacy. So what I'm doing when I present myself to God, I'm trying to get in an intimate manner. I'm trying to get close to him. Anybody else trying to be close to God? I don't want to just be an object out there that he created. I want to be his child. I don't want to be something that he created and not have an intimate relationship with him. And so when I present myself, I'm placing myself to God, near God, for his disposal, for him to do whatever he wants to do. I'm placing myself. I'm bringing myself into fellowship with him so that I can be close and intimate with him so I'll know his will, so that I'll be close enough to him that I'll do it his way. Oh, too many times we try to do it our own way. You know how you want to do things your own way. You even tell God how you want it done. We got grocery lists all the time of things that we want God to do and how he ought to do it. And then when God don't do it, we think God ain't real and he don't hear us and he don't answer prayer. And we start doubting him. But you can't doubt God because everything he's done is done. You can look and see his track record. He has a reputation for being able to do anything but fail, lie, and die. What fails is you fail to listen to his word. You fail to obey his will and to do his work. So we can't tell God, and we got a misconception that we can just tell God how we want it to be, and that's it. We got to pray according to his will. I know this is boring to you because we're talking about his will, not your will. We have to pray according to his will. Now, he says, present your bodies. In other words, what? Get into fellowship. Get a closeness with God. Go to God. The Bible says that if he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so if you seek God, he will reward you. If you seek God, he will not ignore you. If you seek God, he will take care of you. If we seek him. Amen. And then when things don't go the way you think it ought to go, you won't have to worry because you know God is still in control. Yeah, it didn't turn out like I thought it should, but God is in control. Yeah, I had a little bit of stress, but I learned something in the middle of my trial. Okay, he says, present your bodies a what? A living. A living sacrifice. When we talk about a living sacrifice, he said now, aside from the law, the law calls for a dead sacrifice. That means that God, he let these dead things that people presented to him allow him to give mercy to the people. But we're not after mercy today. We come for grace. Because see, mercy is God not giving you what you deserve when you deserve it. But grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Let me share. So you didn't deserve eternal life, but God gave it to you. You didn't deserve a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance, but God, that's grace. Mercy is saying that I should have killed you. But because I'm good, I didn't. Oh, okay. All right. But when we look at it, he says a living sacrifice. God is not after dead things. That's why we got to quit being a dead church. Preach. God is not after dead things. He wants things that are living. He wants you to be a living sacrifice. He's not, if he was after dead things, he would still be looking for a dead sacrifice. No, he's looking for a living sacrifice. Somebody who's living in a daily basis and you're denying yourself daily. You're sacrificing daily. You hold your tongue when you're supposed to preach in here. You don't cuss people out like you think you ought to now. Come on and say amen. You don't hold anger and frustration and hate and bitterness in your heart, but you let go and you let God have his way. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to praise God in the midst of your trial. But you do it anyway. It's a sacrifice to be able to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Come on and say amen here. It's a sacrifice to come to church sometimes. But you do it. We do other things a lot easier than we do, you know, when it comes to going to church. You come to church for an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours at the most, and we watch a movie for 2 hours and ain't got no problem with that. We'll go to the movies and we'll pay $8 for a ticket, maybe $8, $10, whatever it is, I don't know. And then you buy popcorn and stuff like that. So you spend $20, but you come to church and you give $5. Amen. And the movie don't do nothing but, okay, I'm going to leave that alone. But being in God's presence do something for you that a movie can't do. And we shortchange God. I'm not talking about this for you to give money. I'm talking about to give more dedication. Amen. Your reasonable service. Now look at this. He says that a living what? The word sacrifice is thusia, which means a victim. Means a victim. And what I'm trying to tell you is that a person who becomes a victim to the will of God becomes a victor in the works of God. In other words, God, I'm here to be your victim. Whatever you want to do to me, do it. Amen? And when you surrender yourself like that to God, then God turns around and says, you know what? I don't want to kill you. I just want to bless you. See, when you don't know God, you think he's out to get you. You think he's out to punish you so that every time something bad happens, you say, what did I do wrong? Because we don't know him. But when you know him, sometimes he spank you because he's trying to get you right. And you say, you know what? I got to get this right because I need to be in God's presence. Or you understand that this is a lesson that's being taught or something God is trying to show me. And I know that no matter what I get in, God can get me out of by his word. So that means to be a victim of the will of God. And so God wants us to be victims of his will by sacrificing, being willing, a living, willing victim. I'm willing to be sacrificed for you. Now, sometimes being sacrificed, and I just got y'all attention, boy, y'all looking. Sometimes when you're being sacrificed, that means you might be innocent and you didn't do anything, but you get punished. Sometimes people will try to punish you just for being good. You ever heard the term no good deed go unpunished? Y'all ever heard that? Sometimes all you try to do is help and then they turned on you. Anybody been like that? Don't worry. You're the victim, but you're a victim in the will of God. And if you don't worry about it, just know that God will reward you according to your sacrifice. Y'all still with me here? I'm not looking for people to reward me because that's going to be temporary. You don't have to pat me on the back because I know what God is going to do for me. You don't have to tell me over and over how much you appreciate it because God is still going to bless me. God is going to do something for me that nobody else can do. Amen? And so when I'm a victim of it and when I've been misused or mistreated but I still do what I'm supposed to do, then I am portraying the spirit of God. I'm showing people how God looks and what God is because he's love. And when I show them who God is, God put me in more situations. You never wonder why every time I help somebody, things just keep happening like this. Why they always do me that? Because God knows that you're willing to do it. And so he keeps putting you in those situations. And you keep saying, well, how come every time it's me? Because God knows you're going to sacrifice. God knows you're going to forgive. God knows you're going to teach them who he is by show, by how you live, by how you act. Amen. That don't even sound right to us, do it? Because in our flesh, we don't want to accept that. That God allow us to keep being put in these positions to where people can mishandle us. But Jesus said, take up your cross when? That means you're subject to be crucified on a daily basis. We don't like that kind of stuff. Well, you're going to get a house. Let me tell you that then. Maybe you'll like that. Some money coming to you. Maybe you'll like that. But let me tell you what. We got to love the fact that if we're sacrificed or crucified every day, there's the possibility of a resurrection every day. So what does that mean to resurrect? And I'm gonna get back to this. It means that I show up where people may not expect me to show up. That means that when they thought I had thrown in the towel, I showed them that God was, you know, when Jesus resurrected, they didn't expect him to show up and walk through the wall. Did they expect that? No. But he showed up anyway. And so when people think you're down and out, God said, I done lifted you up. Y'all still with me here? But it can't happen unless you're willing to sacrifice. This is your reasonable service. He said, living what? Sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy, sacred. You're sacred, you're holy and acceptable unto God. So how do I become sacred and consecrated? Do I become that because of me? No. You know how you become consecrated? The blood of Jesus. He cleanses me. I can't cleanse myself. Okay. Holy and acceptable unto God. That means that it pleases God to see you go through sometime. Oh. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise him, to crucify him. It pleased God for Jesus to suffer. That does not sound right, do it? Not in our minds, it don't. It does not sound right for God to be pleased that his son suffers. So, say this, I'm just being real to you here. You're a child of God. so you're going to suffer. It pleased God to see his son suffer. So if it pleased God to see his only begotten suffer, what do you think you adopted children going to do? Huh? This ain't your message today, is it? I know it's not. Somebody, there's one person in here that got y'all. All y'all got to sit through this because of one person. Probably me. So he says, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable. Your reasonable service. This is not a hard thing. All you got to do is make up your mind. It's something that through your intellect, you can say that I'm going to serve God. This is the least we ought to do, right? He said the least. Now, we haven't even done the least most of the time. Amen. We haven't even done the least most of the time. We haven't submitted ourselves. We haven't sacrificed. We haven't presented ourselves. We haven't worshiped God. We haven't done any of that. But we want God to do a whole lot for us. God, open up a door. God, show them. God, do this. Move that. Open that. Shut that down. God, do this for me. We ask God over and over all day long about doing stuff, and we haven't done the first thing. We ask God to do 1,000 things, and he said do 2 things, and we can't do the 2. Do you know what the 2 are? Love God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do that, but we want God to do stuff for us. Y'all still with me? It's all right if you cut me off. I'm cool with that. He said it's our reasonable. It's our reasonable service. It's something, you know, it's our rational. You ought to reason within yourself and say, you know what? God has been good to me. I should do what God says. God he's God. I should obey his commandments. That's what we should say. That it should make perfect logic that God is God and we are his subjects. We're his children. We're his son. He said reasonable service, to be a servant unto God, to render a service or to worship God, not just in here when you come and lift up your hands and sing a couple of songs or whatever you do. It's not just that. It's when you leave here, your worship should be exemplified, how you worship God. Worship is a lifestyle. Amen? It's how you live. It proves who you are when you leave here. Amen. All right. Look at this in verse 2, and I'm halfway done. How about that? Y'all ready to get out of here? And be not conformed. Be not conformed. The word conformed is a Greek word that's rooted in the word schema. In other words, don't be caught up in the schemes of the world to be fashioned like the world. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't do what worldly folks do. There should be something that differentiates you from the world. And so he's saying here, don't be conformed. And the word conformed also means to be pressed in a way that you're pressured to be like the world. I better leave that alone. No, I better not say that. But there's so many things that the world do and they talk about. And if the media shows it, you got all these Christians, they will, oh, Lord have mercy. They will get upset about what's going on the news before they get upset about somebody that's coming against their God or their religion. We side with people that don't believe nothing that we believe, and we let them get away with it. But you let somebody get up, if it's on the news, oh my goodness, we get furious. We get angry. But yet you let somebody curse your God and you don't tell them, hey, man, that's my God. Okay, all right, because we scared or what? Be not conformed. Don't be pressed. In other words, don't let this world press you into forming who you are. This world will form you to who they want you to be by pressuring you to be what they want you to be. Amen? I'm not pressured to agree with anybody. I let the Holy Spirit lead me. I don't have to agree with you. That don't mean I got to fall out with you. And that's what, look, black people, we got to stop that. That because we don't fully agree, we got to become enemies. That's not what God wants. He does not want us to just because we don't agree that we just fall out. We can't talk no more. But if we don't agree, oh, man, then we go talk about who. Just one disagreement. We go to everybody. We talk about what, oh, yeah, he don't like because I said this. So what? You're going to say a whole bunch of stuff that's not going to be agreeable. And ain't nobody here agree 100% or did agree 100% with your mama while she was living. Now you hope you agree with her because she said some stuff that you didn't understand. Now, you know. But you ain't stop. You ain't fall out with your mama, huh? We have disagreements, but don't let those disagreements cause us to be going crazy with one another. He says, "Look, don't be conformed to what this world, but be what transformed." Now, there's a transformation that should happen. A transformation. There's some kind of switch that ought to happen in us. And when we're transformed, we're no longer what we used to be, right? In other words, I don't go places I used to go, and I don't do things I used to do, don't talk like I used to talk. Something changes in me, right? I always like to refer to Isaiah chapter number 6. And Isaiah said that he was in a place in the temple, and all of a sudden when he was in the temple, he saw the Lord, and he saw himself when he saw the Lord. I wonder how come every time somebody come to church, they're always looking for what they can tell somebody else. And every time the preacher preaching, they always saying, tell them, pastor. How come you can't see you? Why in the world we can't see? If God is present, we ought to be able to see the reflection of ourselves and see that we're not right. And see that we need to do some changes and make some changes in our life. Come on and say amen now. And so he said, be what? Transformed. And if I'm going to be transformed, that means that I can't stay like I used to be. I can't keep doing what I used to do. I can't have that stinking thinking like I used to have. I can't be suspicious of everybody, thinking that everybody out to use me, out to get me. I got to learn how to let go of that kind of stuff and say, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't have no quarrels with anybody because I know in whom I believe. And if he forgave me, I need to forgive my fellow man. Transform. In other words, I look like one thing, but I'm something different. Oh, have mercy in here. I'm something different. Some things have worked out in my life. You know, the Transformers, the kids know about Transformers. I knew about Transformers. Jamal used to have Transformers. We had some Transformers, and they would look like a car or something, and then you work it a little bit, you pull some things, and then it starts to look like something else. It becomes a robot. Y'all don't hear me here. In other words, sometimes God had to pull some things. Y'all don't hear me. God had to pull some stuff out of you. He had to pull some bitterness out. He had to pull some flesh stuff out of you. He had to pull in your mind and get that stinking thinking out of you. And so he began to transform you into something that he can use. Amen. Transform by the what? The word renew means to renovate. A renovation need to happen. Tell somebody renovation. Y'all sleep on me. I know I was a little tired, but y'all sleeping. Renovation needs to happen. Why do I need to be renovated? My mind, he said, by the renewing of the what? A renovation of my mind needs to happen. In other words, when you go to renovate something, you don't leave that old stuff in there, do you? You go in there and you tear out, you gut it out. Y'all don't hear me in here. You gut out all that stuff that was already in there, and you start to replace some things. And so I need to start replacing stuff in my mind first. Why the mind? Because that's where the battle begins. That's where the battle is fought against the devil, because he put stuff in your mind and you have all this kind of stinking thinking about others and about yourself. He had all this stuff that he put in your mind, these images he put in your mind to try and destroy you. Let me share something with you. Did you know the reason why Adam and Eve could not go back into the Garden of Eden is because of the image? The image, let me say it like this first. The cherubim. The word cherubim means image. And so if it was an image that kept them out from going in, it was the image and the flaming sword, which was the word. But they knew if they went back in, they would have to sacrifice themselves. They would maybe get cut by the...
We know your hearts have burned within. by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries.